We were discussing that Bezrat Hashem, when you'll be married, so there will be ample opportunities for a person to question, am I doing this for the other party? Do I really want what's best for them? Am I willing to give them the better slice, the better seat, the better place in bed? So that's a simple application that we encounter in our own lives. And obviously in our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, so we see an attitude we're trying to develop within ourselves, that care. ועל דרך זה ציוותה התורה שאת כל ענייני ראשית ימסור יהודי להשם יתברך. Going with this line of reasoning, so Hashem taught us to give each of our first things to Him, and that's why this mitzvah represents the idea of all of creation. Hashem wanted that we would connect to Him, and that's what the mitzvah of Bikurim fulfills. Now, technically you'd say, what value is there in what I give the Ribbono Shel Olam? What can I give Him? But what I'm really giving when I give that first portion is I'm giving of my heart. Hashem doesn't need my crops. Hashem doesn't need my cattle. The essence of creation is that a person will develop to a point where he's giving of himself, he's giving of his emotion, he's giving of his care. And that's what the holy works write about the pasuk, Vavta et Hashem Elokecha. We say in Shema every day, you will love Hashem your God, bechol levavcha, with all your heart, uvechol nafshecha, and all your soul, uvechol meodecha. What is bechol meodecha? Something that is by you, meod meod, it's very precious. That's where you fulfill Vavta et Hashem, loving Hashem. And that's what people fulfilled when they brought Bikurim. And that's why people honored them so much. That's why everyone stood in their honor, even the people working in the temple, even the workers in Jerusalem. Everyone stood up. You don't find that when a Talmid Chacham walked in, everyone stopped working and stood up. The mitzvah of Bikurim is so precious, my Hashem, because what a Jew is showing is, I'm taking what's most precious to me, and I'm giving it to you, Hashem. Now, there's another lesson here. And this lesson we encounter with our children. Your child will take an extreme example and then we'll work our way down. True story. There was a man who was diagnosed with a difficult illness and it was clear that he would have to stay for a period in the hospital. And the hospital was a long journey from his home. So his wife and daughter had to go home. And when it came time to leave and leave him there, so he could see his daughter standing there deliberating back and forth and back and forth. And something's really bothering her. And finally, she comes forward bravely and she's biting her lip. And she says, Dad, I want you to have this. And she gives her teddy bear to her father. And her father looks at the teddy bear and he says, that's so special. Why are you giving that to me? And she says, I know that every night I go to sleep hugging this teddy bear, but I know you're going to have to go to sleep alone here tonight. So I want you to have the teddy bear. And this story, we all appreciate how much that teddy bear means to the girl. And obviously the father doesn't need the teddy bear. So he's going to be able to say, that's beautiful, hold on to the teddy bear. But there are many times that children come and give us something that means a lot to them. And to us, it doesn't. To us, it's really not so important. A child works on a painting, on a drawing. A child works on something in school. One of the kids made a tissue box in school. And the kid came home and brought me the tissue box. And they said, Abba, I made this for you. And I said, thank you very much. And I left it on the dining room table. And I didn't do anything with it because I didn't think it was very nice to put gently. And the kid said, Abba, I made that tissue box for you. Aren't you going to use it? So
I realized it was important to the child, so I put tissues in the box and left it on the table. And a day later, the kid comes back and says, I made it for you. Aren't you going to use it? So I said, where do you think I should put it? And the child said, in the front of shul, right next to you. And so for the last year, this not-so-pretty tissue box was sitting in the front of shul right next to me, because I was always waiting to see if when the child would realize maybe it's not such a pretty thing to sit in front of shul, but it meant a lot to the child. So when the parasha teaches us that the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I want you to take what's very special to you and give it to me, not because it's special to me. The Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't need our fruit, he doesn't need our cattle, he doesn't need our crops, but he's giving us an opportunity to give what's special to us to him. And that's the idea behind Reshit, the essence of creation being give your first. And I'm saying as parents, we have to be able to see that when a child speaks to us, because what we might be seeing is that not so pretty tissue box. But what we should be seeing is that there's a lot of heart in that not so pretty tissue box. Someone here feels like they're giving you something of importance. And so we have to give that some thought. Baruch Hashem, by now that child forgot they made it. And I was able to get rid of it a few days ago. It wasn't so nice. But to the child, it meant something. So so long as the child remembered they made it and they gave it, it was there. Yeah.
Is the mitzvah of Bikurim, in generally speaking, this concept of Me'odecha and everything like that, are these kinds of mitzvahs supposed to be done with a sort of degree of pain?
I don't think so. But I don't think it's pain.
No,
it's a desire to give.
But if that's not so natural in the person, it will come with pain. And at the end of the day, listen, that in order for this to be a mitzvah performance at the level that, yes, you want to give and you're happy, first one to Hashem, yefet. But until you practice it, until you've done it enough times or had enough opportunities to where you did it and were really finally able to internalize the joy of giving your first to Hashem and doing its ultimate odecha, it's gonna, at least for some people, it's gonna come with pain as you're working towards that final mental goal.
It could be, only that a person has to gauge. Sometimes if doing something is painful to a person, then they shouldn't be doing it yet. Then they're not yet ready to do it. Sometimes as a person grows, they can do it. Some mitzvot you got to do whether you like it or not. Person, but especially because in Machon Meir we're working with a progress of tshuva and growth. So a person cannot take upon themselves all of the mitzvot in one night. And so too in this area also, a person can't do it all at once. It's a process. Yes.
Also, I don't think he was here for the first half, where we said when the person goes to bring it, they're announced outwardly, remembering all of the good Hashem did to him and to us and our forefathers, to first generate a sense of appreciation, and then at that point, you want to give. So,
very nice.
Also, I'm not discrediting the concept of giving your first and doing things. And giving that which means most to you in gratitude to Hashem, not belittling at all the concept. In fact, I'm saying that it is, realistically speaking, it is a very high level in comparison to where a person starts out, where a person, meaning what human nature would dictate of a person. Right? Says, man, I've been waiting all year for these crops to grow. You know, I remember a year ago from now, last summer being in the heat, but still doing whatever I had to do to work the soil all winter, draining the fields so that they wouldn't get overflown. So I understand. So, but I feel like that this mitzvah and others like it might come with a degree of I'm doing it and I I'm understanding that yes, it's for you, but it's not easy. Which also what kind of makes the mitzvah great to a degree. It's a degree that it takes a real pushing of yourself and to go ahead with it.
We're continuing in Tivot Shalom. Based on this, we can also understand what's happening with the story of Cain and Hevel, Cain and Abel. It says, Cain brought from the fruits of the ground an offering to Hashem, and Hevel also brought from the chosen cattle and their fats. And our sages say, Cain brought from the leftovers, the stuff that was damaged goods, and Hevel brought from the chosen animals. And we have to understand, where did our sages see in the text that Cain brought from the poor quality fruit? And you look at the story, Cain was the one that initiated the offering. Hevel then copies the performance, only does it better. But if Cain was supposed, he initiated this idea of bringing a sacrifice, then why did he bring poor quality? But Tivot Shalom suggests our sages saw it in the wording. It says, Cain brought from the fruits of the ground. It doesn't say from the fruits of his ground. By Hevel, it says he brought from his chosen sheep. When it says the fruits of the ground, it means poor quality fruits. When it says the fruits of his ground, it means the fruits he sweat over, he invested in. And that Cain was not willing to give to Hashem. He brought fruits of the ground. Let me go collect some fruits to offer Hashem. The fruits he didn't invest so much in. And that's what our sages mean when they say he brought poor quality fruits. Hevel brought from his chosen sheep. He gave Hashem what was most cherished. And that's the same concept of Bikurim, where you take the chosen one, the first one, the one you love, you say, that's what I want to give Hashem. And with this we can explain what it says, take from the first fruits of the ground. The ground is something that's very low. And here, the Torah is alluding that even the fruits of the ground is something that Hashem cherishes when you have invested in it. When you say, I take the stuff I like most, I'm giving that to Hashem. There's someone showed me a beautiful video where this kid gives a pie of pizza free to a homeless man. And then someone comes and sits next to the homeless man and asks him if he could have a slice. So the guy got it for free, right? He didn't work for it. Kid runs up to him and says, here, enjoy, and gives him a pie of pizza. And as he's eating the pizza, now he's obviously very poor, someone sits down next to him who also looks like he's not doing so well and asks him, can I have a slice? And it's beautiful to see how he takes off slice and says, yeah, enjoy. And he gives it to him. And sometimes you have something which you cherish, and it's a big question. Are you going to give it to someone else? Are you going to give it to Ribbono Shel Olam? And when a person takes something he wants and he gives it, that's what the Torah is saying. It doesn't matter what it is. It matters what it means to you. And that's why the Torah stresses the fruits of the ground. I'll take something so low, Hashem says, because the essence isn't whether it's a prize sheep or a prize ox or a prize fruit. It says bring it up and place it before Hashem. Even that fruit which was in the ground now merits to be brought before the altar, before Hashem. And the Holy Torah teaches us here how much Hashem cherishes when a Jew steps forward and takes something that's important to him, something that he cherishes, and brings that to Hashem. And that's what the Pasuk says, when man steps into the temple, he says, here I've come and brought the first fruits of the ground. The fruits of the ground, they're meriting to be a sacrifice.
because Hashem cares about what's going on in her heart. And when a Jew brings up those fruits, the fruits that he really wanted to eat, and he spent the whole journey up looking at that ripe, luscious pomegranate, that ripe, luscious date, and he says, I'm not eating it. I put a string around it. This is for Hashem. So what he's showing then is that the essence of creation, the essence of creation being that man connects their bon shalom, that's being fulfilled. Man is saying, here, everything I worked for down here, first, Rabban Shalom, let's connect. And that's like a small child that gives his toys to his father because he loves him so much. So the father doesn't need the toy. Here, he's giving the example I gave. Okay, I kivanti l'dat gdolim. But the father knows what that toy means to the child. You know, I remember once one of the kids... Our kids don't have too much money. I don't think it's so good for kids to walk around with a lot of money in their wallet. They could, not a good idea. It'll get them into trouble. But if they have change, they can keep it. So one night I come to bed and I find a note. One of the kids wrote a note and says, Abba, I love you, and leaves me a half a shekel piece. So I said to my wife, how much does this kid have in the wallet? And my wife said, I'm not sure there's anything left. That half a shekel might have been everything they had in the wallet. I said, wow. They gave me that half a shekel? I wanted to frame that. Because what does it mean to him? What does it mean to the child? But the father has to know what it means to the child. It could be the whole world to the child. And when a child gives that, he's giving his whole heart. And that's what's happening with the Ribon Shel Olam. When a person brings Bikurim, he's bringing something that's very special to him. And Hashem says, I want to see where your heart is. Are you giving what you desire? And that's what Hashem wanted, to be connected to humanity. And that's what what our sages meant when they said, for this mitzvah you'll enter the land of Israel. Why did Hashem give us the land of Israel? The land of Israel has holiness. In the land of Israel, even the earth is holy. It's known that many people, when they come to Israel, they go to the ground and they kiss the ground. It's written that the Hasidic Rebbe's before Shemitah, on Rosh Hashanah, when Shemitah would begin, they'd lean down to the ground and say, Good Shabbos. Why? Because the year of Shabbos began. So I mentioned to my wife a few weeks ago, it's Suda Shlishis time. Soon we're going to say Good Vach to the ground. Almost, that's it. Shabbos is almost out. We got one more week of Shemitah here. So the ground has one more week. The land of Israel is the only land that the ground itself has holiness. There are mitzvos that are contingent on the earth. And Hashem gives us this land that has holiness, to teach us that through the holiness of the land, a Jew can become holy and uplift everything he does to Hashem. And that becomes that's fulfilled primarily through the mitzvah of Bikurim, where a person has something that he desires so much. When you harvest grain, you don't have that desire. You don't look at that ripe grain and say, fresh bread. Yeah, there's a lot of work still. You got to harvest it, you got to thresh it, you got to grind it, you got to sift it. The fruit, you see it on the tree, you want to eat it. It's a different story. Hashem says, for this mitzvah, you'll come into the land of Israel. That's the essence of the will of Hashem. And through the fruit of the ground, something so simple, here it becomes something so holy that all of creation revolves around that. And that's based on what the Medrash says, Beis Shammai say, the heavens were created first and then the earth. Beis Hillel say, the earth and then the heavens. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said, how could our... The great fathers of the world, Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel, argue about this. I'm saying neither one was created. They were created like a pot and its cover. They were created together. When you make a pot and its cover, they used to make them one and cut them into two. So what's the argument? What difference does it make? Why did Beit Shammai and Beis Hillel argue about which was created first? Shammai says the heavens were created first. The essence of creation was for the sake of heavens, for Torah, for actions of kindness, for sacrifices. Hillel says the earth was created first. The essence of creation is that a Jew will work the earth and do the physical things in the name of Hashem. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, what were they arguing about? They were created together. There's no difference when a person's doing Torah or good deeds, or a person is dealing with the mundane, but he's doing it out of a love for Hashem and a connection to Hashem. It's all one essence. Why does he call them the fathers of the world? Because it says that before Hashem created the world, he asked Shammai and Hillel how to create the world. Na'aseh Adam, he says, is an acronym. Na'aseh stands for Nimlach Im Shammai Hillel. Hashem asked the two of them, should I create the world? He asked their souls. Shammai and Hillel represent two sides of, two aspects of leadership in Am Yisrael. So in summation, what he's taught us is that the greatness of the mitzvah of Bikurim is that this is where a person has toiled, and through this, man shows his love to Hashem, that he takes what's most cherished to him, and he says, I'm bringing this to you, Hashem. Not because Hashem needs it, but because it reflects on man's connection to Hashem.